Well, turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the 34th Psalm, John chapter 14, verse 1 and verse 27. We're doing a second part of our teaching in a series called The Fear Factor. And last week we talked about that, and we had a title of it last week. We talked about the origin of fear last week and the source of fear. And so we are going to talk about in this session, no fear, no panic. This is what our title is this morning, Psalm 34 and verse 4. And I'm going to read four verses to catch the whole import of the sense of what David is doing. And the whole verse, the first four verses shows us the dilemma this man was in. And I thank God there was such a spirit of praise this morning, but sometimes it's harder to praise. If you ever came here Wednesday, it was tough preaching. It was one of the tough sessions I preached on Wednesday. There was a very small anointing. I guess the expectation was not as great because I studied, I was ready, I'm prayed up. It has nothing to do with the preacher when the meeting is not good. It has to do with everybody there. I want you to understand that. It's the reception of the people because you can't force feed people. They have to want to hear God talk to them. Or if you want to stay in a stupor and just be feeling sorry for yourself, you will not get anything. And so I want to encourage you, when you listen, listen with your heart wide open. And so Psalm 34, 1 to 4, it says, "Thou bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." And we said earlier, you know, people say, "Well, I have praise in my heart." It should be in your mouth, and people should see your mouth and hear your mouth. Other people should hear you praising. "My soul shall make her boast in the Lord." What is your soul? Your soul is your emotions. Your soul is your thought life. And you need to begin to think on the goodness of God in order to make yourself feel better. The only way you can change your feelings is to change your thinking. And so this is what David is doing. Because he had no business praising God naturally because of the situation he was in. And if you're going to sit there this morning feeling sorry about yourself and how big your problem is and how no one understands you, then you got another thing coming to you. We have to learn to be adults in the kingdom of God and learn to praise God before we see the answers. When God sent out Israel and they went against Jericho, and they marched around the walls. The walls were up. They praised God when the walls were up. And then the walls came tumbling down after 7 days. So we must begin to praise God. If your walls are up, what you're trying to accomplish, then spiritually speaking, you got to begin to praise God. And here was this man, David, in a cave. And he said, "I'll bless the Lord at all times." I don't know if he was actually literally sitting in a cave in there, but he was actually running from the king. And I believe he was. And just like Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ," and he's sitting in a jail cell. You got to begin to make those confessions before it actually happens in your life. You got to say when you got cancer, "I am healed by Jesus' stripes." You got to say when you don't have any money in the bank, you got no job prospect, you got to say, "Thank God, He supplies all my needs." And that's the way it works. And you can't wait till the things change. You can't wait for circumstances to change to make yourself feel good. No, that's called emotional Christianity. And that's what a lot of people want, is to feel good first. And thank God there was a good feel-good feeling here this morning, anointing. Thank God He helped us. Thank God that Lisa did her best. Glory to God. Amen? My wife was telling me how beautiful Vanessa was sitting there perched up on her seat there. Look at Vanessa. She's so beautiful. And thank God you're a beautiful lady and on the inside and outside and everything else that comes with it. Praise God. Amen? Let's give her a hand for help, for being so faithful. I thank God. I thank God for this lady. She's been faithful. I've known her since she was just a young lady. And I've seen her grow up in church and stay faithful to God. No matter what happens, she's here. Amen. I mean, we've had our little ups and downs. Not with me, mind you. I'm always up with her. But we've all had our situations going on. So anyway, he said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. When you boast about something, you ever boast about your children, how great they are? Well, you do that with God. You boast about God in a tough time, in the work, when there's a hard place, you boast about him and say how good he is and what he's going to do. And you got to look the devil in the eye and say, devil, you don't have the last word. And I look at the devil many times and say, you don't have the last word. And I say it with vigor. And I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not afraid of him at all. You shouldn't be afraid of the devil. Jesus defeated him for you. And thank God, you need to get tough a little bit. Praise God. Rise up. Amen? And so he said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Those people that are a little bit, you know, lower than you, perhaps. In that time, David, he was so low spiritually, emotionally. He was feeling so low as he was in that cave or running from the king for his life. You're not running for your life this morning, but this man was. He had nowhere to go. And yet he was supposed to gain the throne, but this man says, you're not going to have it. I'm going to kill you first before you ever get it. And he was being persecuted for nothing, for no reason, other than feeling jealous of someone for gaining what God wanted them to have. And so thank God today that we have a reason to praise God. So he was praising God in there, in that cell. And the Bible said he makes her boast in the Lord. He said in here that I'll make my boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof. And the humble that he's referring to was all those men that he was with. You know, all those men that it says, and I believe it's 1 Samuel 22 and 2 Samuel 22, both of those chapters talked about 1 Samuel 22. The Bible says that those people who were downcast and depressed and in debt, had no money, they were broke, they had a bad time, they came to David for help. You ever understand this? Sometimes the people that are looking to you for help, you're down yourself. I said, you're down yourself. They're looking for you to help. A lot of times, I'm in the same predicament. I'm having a hard time. They don't know what I went through Saturday night. They don't know what I went through all weekend. And yet, I'm called upon to pray and to act like, everything's great. And yes, by faith, we do it. And this is what David was doing. He was praising God in a tough time when those guys should have been helping him. Can you lift your hand and say, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. So that's what we need to do. Learn to praise God no matter what. Brother Hagin said this one lady one time, she was crying in church because they didn't let her sing a song and don't let her sing a special song. And he said, well, praise the Lord anyway. Amen? So Max, when we told you to sit down, you just said, praise the Lord anyway. That's right. Anybody's like that. So sometimes we don't always get. Sometimes these guys are supposed to preach, and I get up and preach, and they have to sit down. Well, because we listen to God. We're not going to be afraid of people. We're not going to be afraid of man. Praise God, because we have to obey what God says to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. You got lots to be glad about. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Other people say, let me magnify on Facebook here how big my problem is right now. Let me tell the whole world, Christians and non-Christians, like how bad as a Christian I am, suffering and having such a hard time, you know? It really makes me feel a little bit ill when Christians brag about how big their problems are instead of tell about what God. I'll tell you something. You know, I've got these problems, but God is bigger than that. Why don't you add God in there and what the scriptures say about what your problem is like? Hallelujah. Now, I got your attention a little bit. Amen. And so it says, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Well, magnify the Lord with me. He's telling those guys who are down. The word humble means those who are depressed in spirit. That's what the Amplified says. Depressed in spirit. Sometimes, you know, you're going to do this by faith totally. You're not feeling well. They're sure not feeling well. And then you're going to have to praise God. You're going to have to magnify God together. That is, together you're going to say, man, he's a great God. Amen. He's an awesome God. Look at the scripture here. Oh, praise God. Look at what it says here. He'll come in. He's going to help me every time. Praise God. So he said, let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord. And this is what we want to get to after all that. He said, I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. That little section at the end of this verse 4, he delivered me from all my fears is what we're going to be talking about this morning. John 14, 1 and 17 also, we'll read that in a few minutes. I propose to you this idea. We have the power to resist every kind of fear that comes to you. Okay? We can say no fear here. Everybody say together. No fear here. Again, say no fear here. We got the power to say that to resist fear. We talked about Wednesday, the source of fear. When did fear come to man? When did it come to man? And how does this work in people's lives? Why is fear so predominant in the lives of people? And so we need to look at that. If we can see that, if we can know where the source comes from, and we got to know how to handle this situation. Some people say, well, I get anxiety attacks. I can't help it. Sure, you can help it. You just don't know what to do. I get panic attacks, and I'm so helpless. Well, Jesus said, I'll help you. I'll always be there for you. You can get control. Anybody here, if you've been diagnosed with stuff like that, I want to tell you, you can be totally free from it. Okay? I used to go and see a psychiatrist about my anxiety problems. I didn't have the scriptures. It was until the Lord gave me, personally told me about Isaiah 54, 5 and 3. He said, I died for every one of your fears. I've died for your peace. So, in today's message, we're dealing with the topic of overcoming fear. Last week, as we mentioned, we dealt with the origin of fear and the source of fear. The psalmist said in chapter 1, verse 4, he said this, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Everybody say, I will fear no evil. I made a decision for myself. I said, I will not be afraid. I saw this scripture and other scriptures. I'm never going to be afraid. I will not be afraid. Doesn't mean I'm not going to experience fear that comes sometimes. You can feel it in your body. I would say, I will not be afraid. Soon as people feel fear in their body, they quiver up and quit right away. So you have to begin to understand that you can get over this thing. So he said, I'll fear no evil. But many would say, there's so many problems and so many difficulties and things in life that I should be afraid about stuff. And there is. But what about terrorism? I can't travel here. I can't do this and that. We can live. Can we actually live without fear affecting you and the decisions you make in life? Well, I don't want to jump out in ministry because I might not have any money. Well, I might not travel out in ministry. What if I don't go to Bible school? What if the money doesn't come? Well, so what if it doesn't come? What if it does come? And you have to be responsible to be there. So there's so much to think about. So what about individual panic attacks and night terrors? And, you know, I was telling my girls last night, I said, you know, I used to suffer from night terrors. I had a lot of tragedy in my life. As a young boy, like I said, when I walked down the street one day, I saw an ambulance, and I come up to my mother, almost dead on right on the pavement. I saw my mother, and it affected me for years. So something happened to me as a kid, and I had all these things happen to me. My mother was raped a number of times. Like, I had so many tragedies in my life, and that my mother was beaten up, and she was in the hospital. I mean, so many things. I was without food. I was left alone, homeless many times. I didn't have food for weeks at a time. There's so many tragedies I had in my life. By the time I was 17, it was the worst part of my life. It was like walking in darkness. When Jesus came to save me, it totally took everything away from me. And all of a sudden, I didn't realize I was in total depression for most of my life. I saw my sister-in-law get raped by 6 men. I mean, I had so many tragedies in my life. So they were wondering, what's wrong with Roma? Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with Roma. I'm telling you right now what's wrong with what happened to that little man. And so I'm telling you, God saved me and delivered me, and I'm free today of all these things. Hallelujah. Thank God for it. You know, God is, he'll deliver you from no matter what you're going through. God is using me today Because I'm willing to stand up and say something. I'm not shy about what happened to my past. And if you're shy about your past, you'll never get out of it. If you conceal and hide every trouble you have, you'll never get out of it. It's when you admit you have a problem. It's when you say, I have a problem. That's when you're going to start the day you'll recover. Amen. When you say, if you say, oh, I'm not, you know, I don't have that. No, you're going to, if you hide, your kids are in trouble. If you hide that you got no money, you can hide, you got this, you got, no, you got to go and tell somebody. Amen. Tell somebody. Go and confess your fault. Go confess your sin and be a man and woman of faith and begin to walk by the word of God. You're not going to hear this problem. You're not going to hear this in another church this morning. I'm glad you're here. Praise God. Amen? So, somebody said, well, what about the common everyday dread? You know, there's what we call dread. People fear Monday morning. I'm saying, I mean, that's a very mild fear, but it's still fear. Once you get up and say, you know what, I'm not afraid of Monday morning. I'm going to get up whether I'm tired or not. I'm getting up and facing this thing. I'm telling you, there are so many fears that hide themselves in people's lives. They don't even catch it. Everybody say, I'm not afraid of Monday morning. Yeah, we need to say that. So, but I live for Friday. So everybody say, I live for Friday. No. Everybody's got TGIF. Thank God it's right. What does that mean, TGIF? I asked somebody, what is IMO, whatever? He didn't know what it was. I said, I've been adding that on my thing for a long time. I'm just kidding. I don't. I found out what it was. I don't add it on my comment. Some of you guys shouldn't be adding that on your back of your thing. And I did a few times. And okay, I know what that means, though. So let's discover the secret of learning to overcome fear in our lives. And we should have George Beverly say a song, though. It is no secret what God can do in his baritone voice. Everybody say, fear not. The Bible tells us in so many places not to fear. The psalmist said that he has delivered me from all my fears in Psalm 34, verse 4 there. Jesus encourages us not to be afraid in the 14th chapter of the book of John. And so we are to be free from all fears, no matter what it may be. So we need to know where fear comes, as we mentioned. We need to know the source of it, who's going to bring it on. And we need to know how to deal with it and can we deal with it. So once we discover the power how to resist fear, we will overcome it every single time. Every single time you can overcome fear, panic, and terrorism, whatever it is that you're experiencing physically in your body. Now, I understand when you get fear as a kid, it damages you to a degree in your mind. The scientists tell us that when you have tragedies in your life, something happens to your brain, chemistry-wise. But Jesus is the healer of all things. He can heal your brain, chemistry. He can heal your physical body and take away the feelings and all that stuff that fear has, you know, provoked you to be in. You know, the Bible says in the beginning, you know, imagine a world without fear right now. And just think about it, that to what is it like to live without any fears? Everything is possible. You know, in the beginning of time, there was no fear in the garden. So in Adam and Eve's life, there was absolutely nothing to fear. In Adam and Eve, there was nothing to fear at all. So it was only after they sinned that fear entered into the world. What happened? They discovered God, disobeyed God, excuse me, and they both died spiritually. Then death came and gave it power to rule in their lives. So this sin came. They disobeyed God, and they began to, and the Bible, they knew what God said, that if you disobey me, you will die. So they disobeyed God, they died, and then death came. The Bible says, if you disobey me, death will come. And then when death came, fear gave birth to fear. Because after that, God told Adam, God was looking for Adam, he says, Adam, where are you? He said, I hid myself. Because he sowed fig leaves on his body to hide his his mechanics and everything. And so he tied everything up. And then God says, "Where are you?" He said, "I was naked and I got scared." Well, who told you you're naked? That girl, woman you gave me, she helped me out. Eat that fruit there. And then she said, "What about Eve?" Eve told him to take this. Don't listen to your wife all the time. I mean, they influence you, right? No, all the time. Sometimes my wife says, "Eat that fruit." I said, "No." Pastor Ken, you better not eat no more fruit. Anyway, God told Adam, Eve, "Well, what happened?" He said, "That's that devil." They blame the devil. Everybody blaming everybody else for their trouble. That's where it all began. And so we see a process here. If I can get back to my notes here. I wanted to keep this open, but it keeps going out of me. So notice they disobeyed God, died spiritually. Then came death, and death gave power to fear into their lives. Genesis 2:17, "But of the tree of the good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it." What don't you understand about not eating it? Not eating it. Don't eat that. And they went ahead and touched it anyway. They ate it. "For in that day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." You will die, literally die, spiritually. You'll die spiritually first, and then physical death. How many people know that we were not meant to die physically? Spiritual death had to come first, and then spiritual death had to come first, and then physical death came next. Listen, when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible said he became sin for us. He took on the nature of man, and he died physically. He would have never died if he didn't take on the sin nature of us. And he went with that sin nature to hell for us. And he rose again and gave us his righteousness. Right now, you have the righteousness of God. You are righteous right now. You'll never be any more righteous than the day you got born again. Right now, you're righteous. Everybody say, "Right now, I'm righteous." Say, "I'm okay with God." Say, "I have the power to rule in my own life." That's you. That you found that. You find that in Romans 5, verse 17. You can rule or dominate and be a king in your own life. And say a king dominates by his word. You dominate by your words and what happens to you in your life. Psalm 91 says, "I will save the Lord. He is my refuge. He is my God. In whom I'll trust. I will save it. I will save it. I confess it." When a trouble comes, you say, "I will save the Lord. He is my strength." You begin to say that. Thank God. We can praise the Lord for that. Am I ever going to finish this? I've got 3 minutes to do over two-thirds of my message. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man," he's going to get a good whipping when I see him, "by one man, sin entered into the world." He said, "When I see that Adam, I'm going to tell him, 'Oh man, Adam, listen, man, you blew it.'" By one man, sin entered into the world. Sin entered into the world. We saw that in Genesis 2:17 when God told him. Romans 5 in New Testament, verse 12 says, by one man, sin entered into the world. And notice this, and by death, sin. So death came after they sinned. And with death, all kinds of junk comes. When you don't have enough finances, that's death working in your life. When you got a headache, that's death working in your life. When you're sick somewhere, that's death working in your body. So you must resist these things. The Bible says in here, "And so death passed on to all men, for all have sinned." Now we receive the nature of Adam. Death came after sin, and it gave birth to fear. The foundation of fear is death. Fear of death. And that comes with all kinds of things. Fear of losing people. Oh, what if I lose my wife? What if I lose my children? What if I lose my job? What if I lose my money? What if I lose my health? What if I lose this? What if I don't get that job? What if I don't? What if? Fear of everything. Fear of losing something. That's death working. The foundation of fear is death. It all started in the garden. I want to show you this. When we're born again, we didn't receive a spirit of fear. We are born of God, and God is a spirit of love. The Bible says love casts out all fear. 1 John. Even scientists tell us that we're not born with an innate ability to be fear of everything. But fear is something that you learn to be afraid of stuff because there's death working in this world. He says the 23rd Psalm, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? And there's a lot to be afraid of in the valley of the shadow of death. The valley of the shadow of death is right here in this world. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. There's death everywhere. And life came into us. The life of God came into you and me. God lives in the side of us. And you don't have an ounce of fear in your spirit. None. Zero. So any fear that comes to you has to come through your ear or your eyes. And you've learned to be afraid of things. So every fear you have, you learned. You picked it up somewhere. Somewhere along the line, you picked up fear to be afraid of something. And because you picked it up, you can unlearn that and say, I'm not going to be afraid of it anymore. Thank God for that. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, CEB Bible, common English. So there's people English in here, common English people, for you. There is no fear in love. God lives inside of you. So, fear and love living in the same house? No, it don't work. You don't have an ounce of fear in your spirit. If it has anything, it came to your mind. You let it there. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has punishment. And when Adam was walking in the garden, he heard God. He was afraid of God. He was afraid that God's going to punish him. He was afraid. And the Bible says you have a right to be afraid of a police officer if you're doing bad. You got a right to be afraid of a judge if you go to the court and you got a problem. A child should be afraid of their dad and mother if they've done something wrong. That's correct fear. And last Wednesday, when I walked out the door, there was a man that I invited to church, came to church Sunday, Wednesday night, and I walked out with him. He says, there's only one fear I have, and it's the fear of God. It's a good one. But that's not the kind of fear we're talking about. When he talks about fear of God, yeah, there's an awesome reverence for God. But we're not to be afraid of God. Like, you know, that's not the kind of fear that you fear God of. God is love, absolute love. We're not to be afraid of God because he's going to punish you. He's not there to punish you. It's like when you come to your dog, come here. And you know? How many of you have dogs? You understand what I'm talking about? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You have not received the spirit of fear again, bondage to fear. The spirit of bondage to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's the spirit you have. Crying, Abba, Father. Your spirit is crying out. You know what fear does? I don't have the time to explain everything. I only got like 30 seconds. Fear is absolute bondage. Absolute destroys any of your vision. Afraid of people. Afraid to say this. Right? I mean, if you act correctly, you shouldn't be afraid to say anything. You know, like fear, it absolutely cripples people. From everything. I can't do this. I can't walk that far. I can't go on a height. I can't eat that. Whatever it is, you're just absolutely crippled by fear. People, they cripple up in a meeting. They can't talk. They can't get up and say anything because they're too scared. They're scared of man. They're scared of people. Why? You know, I was the same way, but I had to learn that, you know, hey, if I want anything, you know, about being passive and passive aggressiveness, you know, passive people, they never get what they need ever in life. You can't. You're too passive. You don't ever say what you want. What do you want to eat tonight? Oh, whatever you want. When they asked me, I said, yeah, give me a steak. What? Well, you asked me what I wanted. But you got to say what you want, right? Well, don't ask me what I want. I'll tell you what I want. So listen, if you're going to be passive all your life against the devil, he's going to keep beating you up. So, listen, Jesus said, you know, people fear dying of anything. Jesus said, even after you die, you know, you'll still live. I told that to these that I've been doing these funerals. People just amazed these scriptures. Wow, yeah, that's true. This young man who passed away, I had a chance to share the gospel with this man. He was in a wheelchair, my cousin, but he had addiction problems. He's on the street. I saw him a few weeks ago, right? It's just, man, I just feel bad. I talk with him. I invite him to church. I send him. I send other people. I phone different people. And so, you know, every one of us, we've struggled. You feel bad for people. And I shared the gospel with him. I told him about Jesus, you know. So I know he received the message. And I'm hoping that he received it to the full. That we can see him after. And people are amazed. You know, I talked about the dad who left at 83. And I said, you know, he believed in Jesus. You guys went to church. He loved God. Yeah, you'll see him again. Oh, they brighten up. It sets you free. Your hope is in God. And people say, well, I don't know if he did die or not. Well, you know, my hope is still in God. Even if I didn't know about him, my hope is still in God. Thank God. Hallelujah. You know? And I said, Lord, you know, Lord, if I can't handle this, if I don't know that they received Jesus Christ, please give me the ability to deal with that. Yeah. I don't know if they got born again before they died, but Lord, help me. Give me the strength to just to withstand the grace of God, just to withstand this ability that I don't know if he's saved or not. Yeah. And he did. He'll give you the same strength. Adam says, verse 10, Genesis 2, he says, I was afraid. He says, verse 3, I'm afraid. So, let me just give you one more scripture. We'll close here. I'm going to skip through a lot of stuff. Jesus said in John 14:1, he says, peace I leave with you. Everybody said, peace I leave with you. Did he or did he not say peace? He gave you peace. You said, well, I don't have any peace. Well, is God must be lying then. Or this is not true. Ask yourself, you got to talk to yourself about the scriptures. Is it true or not? Is that really applying to you here? Yeah, I know you got cancer. Yeah, I know you have no money. I know you got a problem, but is this true or not? You can be at peace and let God solve your problem as you walk with God. He says, peace I leave with you. That's before he came, before he left this earth. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace do I give you. Did he give you peace or did he not give you peace? He said, yeah, I give you peace. He's the Prince of Peace. I'm giving you peace. Every one of you, I'm giving you peace. If you look up the word peace in the Greek, one of them says freedom from everything that would agitate you, from everything that would be compulsive. If you don't have peace, you want to smoke. He'll give you peace to not ever want to smoke again. He'll give you peace to not eat that other bucket of chicken that you're trying to get to. He'll give you peace to arrest. From all that. He'll give you absolute peace. I discovered that when I was in Alcoholics Anonymous, I discovered Colossians 1 and 13. I am delivered from the power of darkness. I'm delivered from the compulsiveness of using drugs and alcohol. I'm delivered from every habit I have. I'm delivered right now. I'm not trying to. I'm not going to pray about it one more time. I am delivered right now. Right now, I'm delivered. Right now. Right now. And people are still waiting for me. After 40 years, they're still waiting for me to go back to detox. I'm not going back to detox. I'm free. Now, if I went back, it wasn't because the devil was strong to put me out there. No, because I did it. I was the one that did it. I'm the one that gave into that. Any of you who give into those things, God, the devil didn't do that. You did it. I do not give you as the world gives it. Now, the world is going to give a suit of peace. And people are trying to get it from the world. But you'll never get it. You can't get it off drugs, alcohol, overeating, sex, entertainment all the time, watching every next day. Not enough next day. You'll never get it off those things. Never. Everybody say never. God can only give you this peace. We used to sing a song years ago about peace. I got this peace. How does it go now? I got this peace that the world can't give it, can't take it. It never gave it. It can't take it away. You may find that old song. The world cannot give you this, and it cannot never take it away from you. Yeah. Jesus said, I give it to you. Not as the world give it, do I give it to you. Verse, the last section, I'm going to close. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. If you have heart trouble, having a hard time in your heart, in your spirit, it's because you are letting it happen. And if you got a fear, it's because you let yourself be afraid. You got to learn how to control it. You have control more than you think it is. Jesus said, when you see rumors of wars and all that stuff, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Hallelujah. This should all happen. Don't be afraid. He said that. I don't have time to finish my teaching, but let's go ahead and stand up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I think the Spirit of the Lord is in this house. Say, I'm not afraid. I'll never be afraid. Come on, music team, where are you? If you could come up here and help us out. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for the faith that we have in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing can give me peace but you alone. Close your eyes for a moment. Think about what we just mentioned in the scriptures. Think about the scriptures that spoke to you this morning. The one that talked to you the most, God is talking to you right now. He's ministered to you. Nothing can take away that peace but you alone. The devil can't do it. You must look at the devil in the eye, and that means looking at the sickness in the eye. He said, listen, cancer, you're not going to live in my body. Jesus took it. He became a curse for me on the cross. He took sickness away from me. He took all these things on his back, and today he's given me healing. I'm healed right now. I don't care what I feel, what the doctor said. I'm not going by what the next report is of the doctor. I believe I received my healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that we are free from every power of the devil. Fear is gone. In your presence is fullness of joy. We have made a decision together, individually, and as a church, that we in this church will not fear one thing. Because Jesus, you are our shepherd. We will not run and tear and hide. And he should be running from us because we have the authority and the power over all demonic forces. And we will change our minds. Change our thoughts regarding this thing. Let's say this confession together. Say, thank God, according to your very own word, I should not fear. I will not fear. Fear will not control me anymore. I face my fear. I'm not afraid of death. I will not panic, but I have the peace of God in my heart. I thank you, Lord. It rules in my mind and in my heart. I have God's peace now. The world cannot take it away, cannot shake it out of me, because I am peaceful right now. in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and praise Him and thank Him. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray for everyone that's watching on television right now. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. This congregation prays for you right now in the name of Jesus. I command that fear to leave you right now. I know we've prayed for different ones. That spirit will leave you right now. If there's a spirit plaguing you, in the name of Jesus, I take authority. If you stretch your hand right now, I'm talking to you. Stretch your hand right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over every demonic force of fear that's coming your way. Any panic, any anxiety problems, I command it to leave once. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Be at peace right now. I command the word of faith to go. It's done. In the name of Jesus. Father, I rejoice for those people that are free from fear right now. And I pray that you receive Jesus Christ right now. They say, Jesus Christ, I believe you are the Son of God. Come into my life. I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Become my Lord, my Savior, my Master. I will serve you in the name of Jesus. I'll read my Bible. I'll go to church. I'll find somebody to help me in Jesus' name. Find a good church. Find a good buddy to stick with. If you've been born again, you tell somebody. And if you've been free, let us know. Write us a line. And remember, Spirit Alive next week. Everybody, remember...